Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. I'm very excited today. We've got a fantastic guitarist and backing vocalist from one of my favorite bands, just a fantastic rock band, Grand Design. We've got Mr. Jan Stark calling all the way from Sweden. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine, thank you.
Nice. My in-laws, just future in-laws, just got back from a Scandinavian cruise, and they were very disappointed because on the cruise, they went to Norway and Iceland and all this stuff. They didn't get to stop by Sweden, but I've heard Sweden is fantastic, and that's where you're at.
Yeah.
So very cool.
I think the from where I live in Sweden, I actually see Denmark from where I live, and there is a big cruise ship going. Actually, they're landing in Copenhagen and then going up to Oslo. So I actually see that from my house. So they may have been on it.
I think they probably were. Very, very cool. Well, that's awesome. So, Jan, I know that you are one of those guys, and I can only imagine. I'm not in the music business. I'm a painter by trade. I paint pictures of people. It's what I do. But growing up, and even today, all of my friends are all either in the music business or they're making movies. That's just the people I hang out with. But knowing all these musicians, I remember growing up, there was always, and you meet them, it's not all musicians, but there's a few of them that just are the guy or gal that make it all happen. They book the shows. They make sure everybody practices. They're just in it to win it. You seem like that type of personality because you're in. How many bands are you in?
Quite a lot of them. Well, actually that this I've more or less always been kind of the driving force in the bands that I've been in. I mean, starting back in 78 in the band Paradise, we just released one single, and then moving on to Overdrive back in 1980. And Overdrive is actually we were formed in 1980, and we we kept on for 5 years, and then we split up, and then we reunited in 2003. And we're actually still going, and we're still four original members of the band. But that's kind of how we do shows now and then. But my main bands now is Grand Design, and I'm also playing in a Thin Lizzy kind of tribute band called Falling Hazard, which is just because I don't like cover bands, like playing covers, but Thin Lizzy is always been one of my favorite bands, and I just love playing those songs. So
I can only imagine you playing Jailbreak. Oh wow! that's awesome.
Oh yeah, we do a lot of the like the old, more obscure songs, like the Black Boys on the Corner, Old Town. We even do Blackmail, that the band Wild Horses recorded, and a lot of those old songs as well from the early Thin Lizzy days.
That's awesome. One of the things I really like about Grand Design, and I'm a big Grand Design fan, I have been ever since, and I kind of came into Grand Design late in the game. I think Heart Attack was the first real video I saw, and, you know, then once I was blown away by the, at first I was like, man, look at the gals in this video. No, I'm kidding. Fantastic band. But you guys have that quintessential rock and roll like attitude that just translates through the music and the video, and what it just all works. And it doesn't seem that you guys are doing that or acting that. It just seems that's how you guys are, you know, at least that's how it comes across.
Yeah. I mean, we are like old 80s, 70s hard rock, melodic hard rock fans, all of us. And I mean, we are even four of the guys in the band are record collectors. So, I mean, every time we go to a new, we were just now on a tour. We did a tour of Spain. Came home last week, and or actually beginning of this week, and we the four of us, we just went out looking for record stores. And I got a collection of about 20,000 CDs and vinyls. So, I mean, music is such a big part of who I am, and it has always been. So, I mean, it's we live and breathe music. So there's definitely no acting there.
That's awesome. That's so cool. 20,000 and a very understanding wife or girl, or maybe she's into it too. You know, I can't even imagine
actually,
keeping that many things.
My wife, she actually used to run John Norum's website, and now she's, I'm actually, she's right now sitting working on the official biography for Pretty Maids.
Oh wow! Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Now, are you, do you guys have children and whatnot? And if so, are they musicians as well?
I got two daughters, and my youngest daughter, she's actually 31. She's a music teacher, and she's a choir leader as well. And my oldest daughter, she's 32. She plays the clarinets and the flute and stuff as well. So yeah, they went to music class, special music class and stuff. So they are very music interested, and kind of runs in the family.
That's very cool. That gives me hope. I don't have children yet. When I was a kid growing up, my father used to always, warn me. He said, "When you get ready, you're going to be coaching soccer games and stuff because the kids are." They're not going to be into art. They're going to be the opposite. So I'm hoping he was wrong.
I've got three grandkids as well. And now I'm trying to influence them. So actually, my youngest daughter, she had a son just a year ago. And so for the christening presents, I gave him a Fender guitar and a mini amp. So he's got something to kind of grow into. It was like a miniature guitar.
Nice.
Yeah, you got to start young,
well,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the things I am very impressed with Sweden and their schooling and whatnot, music's very important. That doesn't happen here in the United States. Music and art class is one of the first things to go in budgetary cuts. And it seems like I don't know if it's in the water or what it is in Sweden. Like, you guys can wake up and, okay, I'm going to write a hit song. Okay, now I'm going to go for a jog. You know, it's just something that comes very natural. I'm very impressed with the amount of talent that comes out of Sweden.
I'm currently writing, I've written three encyclopedias of Swedish hard rock and heavy metal. Mm. And I'm currently writing a new book, which is the history of Swedish hard rock. And I'm not just going through like bands and their backgrounds and stuff and the genres and stuff, but also the things around the bands and the music that has helped us quite a lot. And I've always been especially when I've been to Japan, they've always asked me what's in the water in Sweden, and I'm actually been trying to find that out. And we have a couple of things that is quite unique, I think, for Sweden, and that is if you're in a band. You can form something they called a study circle, which means that you actually get money from the government to rehearse. Plus, we also have fully equipped rehearsal studios where you can rehearse for free. So we have like music houses where there are like 10 rooms where the bands can rehearse, and they've got amps and PAs and stuff if you want to borrow, and it's for free. And also the music education, like if you want to learn how to play drums or play guitar or flute or whatever, that is also for free. So you don't have to pay anything for it. You have to pay you can actually borrow the instrument as well when you start out. And then if you want to continue, then you can like buy your own instrument and you can get it for a discount and stuff. So they really have always promoted arts and music in Sweden to kind of learn to play for yourself and really encourage people and like subsidize it so you can easily do it and anyone can do it.
That's amazing. And it's so it just shows that different European attitude in long term, you know, investing in the future. I've always been a big proponent of music theory. If you know music theory and you know it well, you can think and use that to think in other terms. It promotes critical thinking, and it's a good thing, you know. In the States, don't get that. You know, they don't understand. Uh-huh. They just want immediate on everything, and it's a poor plan, in my opinion. I'll probably get emails.
That's actually one thing that I came to think about when it comes to, like, you know, back in the 80s on like Sunset Strip and all those mm-hmm. the early like glam sleaze bands that came along, that's straight ahead went for the looks instead of trying to sound good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Swedish bands have kind of the opposite, because I'm a demo collector as well, and there are so many unreleased Swedish bands that have just recorded demos, and they've been spending like 4 or 5 days or evenings a week rehearsing and perfecting their songs, and they record mm-hmm. it sounds awesome, and still in the end it's like, we're not good enough. And I mean, I think that's one of the disadvantages of Sweden, or the way that we are. We don't think we're good enough, so we are really bad at promoting ourselves.
I hear you. Well, here you are doing it today, so that's a good thing. You know,
I've learned.
Jan knows. that's fantastic. Well, let's play. You've got a whole new album with Grand Design here, and I've got the whole thing queued up. 10 tracks, every one I love. Let's play a couple of them. What should we start with? What should we introduce off the new album? Say someone hasn't heard Grand Design before, and we want to introduce them to Grand Design. What should we play first?
I think a song like either Rock and Roll Hysteria or the title track kind of shows our what we are all about, you know, melodic, hooky choruses, and well, I mean, we won't deny it. We do have a few influences from Def Leppard.
Absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't sound like, when I listen to it, I'm like, I'm not going, oh, these guys are trying to be Def. I definitely have your own thing going, but there is a nod here and there. Yeah, I get that, you know.
Yeah, that was actually when it was a singer who started the band back in 2006. When he started the band, he was actually he's a huge Def Leppard fan, and he I didn't think that Def Leppard had recorded anything that was as good as the old like Hysteria and Pyromania and those albums. So he was like, if they can't do a great Def Leppard album, I'm gonna do one. So he actually went full on Def Leppard mode, trying to copy John Mott Lang's production and the big chorus things and the sound and everything. So we kind of let that go a bit. So I mean, the new album, I think we have brought in some influences from bands like TNT, Boston, and other melodic hard rock bands, and of course try to put in some of us in it as well.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, there is a bit of Def Leppard still there, and I mean, we've changed a bit from album to album. But we're not going to change style radically. We're still trying to keep that Grand Design sound and style.
Well, exactly. You can't. You know, that's something that I was just having this conversation with someone this past weekend, and they're like, it's very hard as an artist. It's very hard for your audience, your fans, as an artist, no matter what type of art you're doing, when you do start changing. People get upset. You know, they're like, hey, what are you doing? You know?
I know
that happens to me. You get to a point where you, you know, you're like, man, I've been doing the same thing now for 20 years. I got to do something different, you know, or I'm gonna freak out. And people's general reaction is, but why? You're good at what you do, so we want more of that. You know.
Yeah,
change it a little bit.
Then you should do it under a different name, maybe, to if you want to explore something else, to not to confuse the fans too much.
Right. Well, here it is, folks. This is the title track of the Grand Design's fourth album. This is Viva La Paradise. It's a fantastic track. Check this out. Fantastic track, ladies and gentlemen. Viva La Paradise, Grand Design, off their new their fourth album, Viva La Paradise. Fantastic. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Welcome to the Total Wireless Store, where total confidence awaits.
Data overage alerts on my phone make streaming tough.
Don't worry, you got this with Total Wireless. Right now, purchase a new line or bring your number and get a month's worth of free data. That's 5 gigs free that never expires on the nation's best 4G LTE network.
Free data?
Stream on.
Discover the Total Wireless Stores and get total confidence. The latest phones, the best network, all at great prices. Now open in Miami. Requires activation with qualifying plan. Minimum $35 for 30 days. Refer to latest terms and conditions of service at TotalWireless.com.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at MBMMusicLLC.com. That's MBMMusicLLC.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Now, you guys started, in my notes, Jan, it says you guys started recording or writing, I guess, the album. This is relatively new, in June of last year, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You guys knocked that out pretty quick. That's amazing, you know?
Yeah, I'll get a studio at home, and I actually I work at a consulting company, so I actually work a lot from home. So I got my studio in the basement. So when I sit there and work, and instead I don't smoke, so I don't need to take any breaks to go smoking. So I take a guitar break instead.
Right.
So if I get the inspiration, I can just sit down and switch on the amp and record the ideas that I have. So I always collect a lot of ideas. So when we start working on an album, I kind of send a bunch of ideas to Pelle, the singer, who's the main songwriter of the band. So I send him ideas, and if he gets the inspiration for one or two or three of those ideas, he keeps working on them, and they turn into songs. So once we get into writing mode, we're really concentrated on doing that.
That's fantastic. Pelle, ladies and gentlemen, also has a fantastic taste in hats that I share with him. He wears them well. I like that. No messing around with that. Now, speaking of, you had mentioned you collect vinyl and whatnot. I have to ask, Jan, all of my guitar friends always have a bunch of guitars. And and sometimes it's down the middle when I ask them, I say, well, do you have the one you started out with? And sometimes they do, and sometimes they're like, no, I had to sell that to get the next, you know, the one up to move up the ladder. Do you still have your original guitar that you started out with?
No, I don't. It was actually a Gibson Les Paul copy, and the... because that was back in 1975, 76, and it was a really cheap one. And I actually sold it to a friend of mine because I bought a real Gibson Les Paul. And I don't have that one either because it was so heavy that I almost broke my back on it. So I kind of regret it now, but it would be cool to see what it's if it's actually alive today.
What a story. That's awesome. But I imagine you have, a couple sitting around the your home studio there and whatnot.
Probably. Yeah, I think I have about 20, I have about 25 guitars, but actually I don't have any guitars that I don't use. I always I don't have any guitars like packed up in the cases or anything. So all of the guitars are in the studio. So when I sit there recording and I'm kind of looking for a special tone or a special sound, I just try the different guitars and see which one fits. So I use all of them, and I have them just in reach. So guitar shouldn't be placed in a... I have a friend who's like a guitar collector, and he's got like 400 guitars, and I don't really see the point of that, just collecting guitars.
Right.
It's like collecting stamps. So guitars are made to be played.
Exactly. I have a friend of mine with, that way with cars. He's got, right now, he's got like 50 some cars. And I'm like, well, when was the last time you drove? Oh, I don't know, 15 years ago. I'm like, so it's just sitting here, you know? That's not not how that was designed to do, you know? I guess personal taste, one of the guitars I really dig is, I've been playing the video in promoting the show. Your video for Face It, Grand Designs Face It, fantastic track. And you've got the, I don't know the make of it, but it's got that kind of, that kind of old Japanese flag type on it. Beautiful guitar.
It's a Gibson Les Paul I have a guy, a Swedish guy, who is a great painter, and he painted that one for me. So it's actually, the Japanese sign is my name in Japanese, my last name in Japanese.
Yeah. Very cool.
And,
very, very cool.
Yeah, he's also painted, I have a guitar, a Phil Lynott guitar, which has the face of Phil Lynott, and I'm actually, we're trying to get all the now living members of Thin Lizzy to sign the guitar, and we're going to sell it and let the money go to Phil Lynott, the foundation. So we've got three other members, Eric Bell and Scott Gorham and Darren Wharton, have signed it so far, so... used to belong to Ken Hammer of Pretty Mates. He's a friend of ours.
Nice. Now, let me ask you, Jan, as a professional musician and someone who is a musician, yes, you are a rock star, but you're a musician first, really into music, really knowledgeable about music. You know that there's a young kid out there in, I don't know, Kansas or Nebraska or somewhere, and they are they want to be where you are. You know what I mean? They want to go that similar route. You're very good at what you do. What is your advice to that youngster?
I think the first advice would be to when you play guitar, when you learn to play guitar, you always get to that point where you think or you feel that I'm not learning anything new. I can't take this any further. And I think the important thing there is not to give up. I mean, it may be a drag for like 3-4 weeks maybe where you feel that I'm not learning anything. This is all going really bad for me. I can't play this. And then suddenly it's just like it just loosens up again, and then you learn a lot of things in a short time. So I think the important thing is to not give up. I have a saying which is, it's never too late to give up. which means that I can keep on forever, because you know that it's never too late to give up.
I like that.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Hi, my name's Ken, and I own Good Start Packaging in Bedford, New Hampshire. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. And last year, that added up to $36,000 in cash back. That's right, $36,000. Thanks to that, I was able to offer healthcare to my employees. The Spark Cash Card did a lot for my business. Imagine what it could do for yours. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool. And if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
Yeah, you know, and it's, you probably, I'm the type of person when I, like I said, I'm a painter. If I go away on vacation, which my girlfriend Danny likes to do as often as we can, if I'm not painting for 3 or 4 days, I start going crazy. I'm like, oh man, I'm not used to this because I'm always working. I'm always doing stuff. And it actually will take me a day or two. I'll paint some abstract paintings because it's not as important. Into getting that muscle memory back in. Are you that way, or just it doesn't matter? You can take a break and then just pick it up and away you go.
For me, it's when I'm away on vacation, I always try to find a music store and try some guitars. Because I feel it starts like itching in my fingers after 3 or 4 days. But I always notice that if I haven't played in a long time and when I get back home and I pick up the guitar, I get a lot of new inspiration, actually. So sometimes
awesome.
I try to be so I can actually record while I'm playing, because sometimes there's stuff coming out that I didn't expect. There was some really like cool riffs I haven't even thought about, because sometimes you sit and play like every day, 3 or 4 days in a row, and it's like you play the same thing over again, or just rehearsing some songs or whatnot. But I feel like when I've been away from the guitar for like a week or 2 weeks, and I get back home and I pick up the guitar, I have a lot of new inspiration.
Right. Well, that's fantastic. And to get it down, too.
Yeah.
Man, I imagine. Now, are you one of those? I have a lot of musician friends who will. I don't use a cell phone, and it's not for any big, you know, social reason or anything. It's just another bill I don't need. I'm like, I have a phone at home, but I have a voicemail. What do I need that? And if I'm out, I'm usually with my gal. She definitely uses a cell phone. So if we need to find directions or find something out, I'm like, look it up on your phone, you know. But a lot of my musician friends will actually use it as a recording device. They'll sing a tune or hum a melody if they get something in their head. Do you do that a lot, or do you write stuff down? Or
No, I actually use it exactly that way, because sometimes I even, when I'm writing songs and I record a demo of it at home, and I take it with me in the car, and I play the I put it in my iPod I play it in the car, and I get a melody in the head. I actually stop by the roadside and take out the phone, and I try to sing along to the music, whatever vocal melody or guitar melody or whatever it is that I've got in my head. And also sometimes when I get a just like a cool melody or something, I always use the recording device on the cell phone. And I think actually the cell phone is, I think it's actually soon becoming a part of my left hand.
Right. Well, they definitely are. And the weird thing is that technology isn't that old. Yes, we've had phones and we've had cellular phones, but really the smartphone, the iPhone, when that came out, 2007 or something? And it's already so entrenched in the global culture, you know, all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it's convenient, you know. I don't think there's been a technology embrace globally since maybe, I don't know, electric light, maybe, you know. Everybody likes it. A personal computer that you carry with you. Who knows? You know, everybody's walking around with all of human access to all of human knowledge in their pocket. It's amazing. You know, and they watch cat videos on. No, I'm kidding. I'm not trying to be cynical. We need to get me to Mars. Anyway, let's play another track. Well, should we go with Rock and Roll Hysteria this time? We've got so many.
I think we should pick up the pace a bit and maybe do Face It.
Awesome. That's a great track. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to play it, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Check this out. Grand Design's Face It. I love this track. 1 second. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. That was Grand Design's Face It.
Out for their new album, Viva La Paradise. On the line with us is Jan Stark. Jan, I like that track a lot. That's a fantastic track. We were talking a little bit off the air. I like your intro with that, with the guitar. It's just fantastic. And a fun video. You guys look like you're having so much fun in that video.
Oh, cool, yeah. Like I said, the intro is my homage to Ronnie Montrose. I was a huge fan of Montrose back in the 70s and the track Bad Motor Scooter, so that's kind of where I got the inspiration for that one. And yeah, the videos, we've always tried to have a bit of fun when we do the videos, and also that's one thing that we've had really good feedback from when we do live shows is that we're always happy on stage and always smiling and always having fun. And we've given you everything. So even if we're a club and there are like 30 people, or we're at a festival playing in front of 10,000, we do the same show anyway. Because if it's a small club, even if it would be 3 people there, I mean, we would do the same thing because they paid the ticket to see us. So we're just
right.
We're imagining 10,000 people and we're having just as fun.
I hear you. It's interesting because it's I've been to there's something very, and I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good word for it, and I don't want it to sound cheesy, but it's almost, there's like a type of magic that happens, and it's so cool to see when you see a band and they're in the zone, they're just rocking it, and they throw this energy out on the audience says, yeah, okay, and they get pumped up, and it goes, bounces back to the band, and this kind of tennis match starts with and everybody just gets amped up. I love seeing that. You only see it at a rock show.
I love that when it happens when we played in Spain in a place called Cangas de Morazzo, which was a really cool club we played in, and I've never had this happen before, but a guy came up, it was actually a lot of people and close to the stage, and one of the guys, he turned around and just pointed to his shoulder. So he wanted me to sit on his shoulder, and I got a wireless, so yeah, I went for it. So he actually took me through the audience. I was sitting and playing guitar solo on his shoulder, and the singer was like, where the fuck did he go? He couldn't find me on stage. So, and then he saw me way out in the audience, like, oh, shit. that was fun, and that's anything to like have a good time, and the people love it, the audience loves it, and we got
mm-hmm.
And it's fun because I've noticed that when we're doing shows like that and this afterwards, we sold quite a lot of merchandise and CDs and a bunch of vinyls as well, and people that hadn't heard us before, they kind of came in because it sounded like fun, and they just reacted to us having fun on stage, and they really got drawn in and they fell in love with us, and I really love to hear that, and we come across live as well, and they can kind of get into the band.
Oh man, and that fan, you will have that fan for life. You know, they come away from that with a story. They will tell that story so many times. All their friends are like, yeah, we've heard it 100 times.
Yeah.
the Grand Design Show, we get it. I know people that will fly, like plan trips, and they're like, oh, such and such is playing in, you know, Portland, Oregon. So we're all, me and some of their other friends are going to see, you know. And I'm like, really, you're flying across the country to see a big, that's amazing to me. That people will, it doesn't happen in the art world, man. Well, I don't know, I mean, not like that, you know. But music is such a visceral art. I'm very jealous of it because it taps into something, you know. It really does. And people, like, I'll hear a song and I'm like, I'll immediately know the year, what I was doing, you know, whatever girl I was wolfing around with at the time. Just from that song, you know. I haven't looked at a photo or a painting or anything and had that experience yet. You know, it's different with that, but music gets it. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
But I like the combination also that's kind of why I love the old vinyl records as well, mm-hmm. because back then the music and the artwork was also kind of a unity, as opposed to the CD where you hardly see what's on the artwork. I mean, that's why I just love the vinyls, and I still buy a lot of vinyls.
Oh, yeah.
And we printed vinyls both with the Grand Design, and I have a project called Mountain of Power that I've released 3 albums with, and I did the last one I did on vinyl as well, and I recently released an album together with Neil Merriweather. We had a band called, mm-hmm. Merriweather Stark, and we released that one on vinyl as well, and I just love that format.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rocks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique. LapothecaryUnique.com.
It's you know, that's how, when I was a kid a million years ago, that was the plan. I was going to move to Hollywood and paint record covers for a cool band. That was my idea. That was the goal. And you know, then CDs came along and then MP3. And I'm like, oh, better figure something else out. No, it's you know, the cool thing about vinyl too, when you're a kid, this, I mean, and ladies and gentlemen, some of our younger people listening aren't going to get this, but there was a time when people didn't have phones or computers. There was no internet, and not that it was accessible to the public. And that's how we found out about bands, is we would get these cool albums. And man, we would read that stuff, you know, like it was a Bible or something. You know, ooh, who produced this? Oh, so much mixed it. This is amazing. You know, and you knew these people just from reading these album covers. It was very cool. You know, as you listen to the record. And I think,
and also when
I mean,
we
it's great.
Back
go ahead.
Back in like around 1976, 77. when I really started getting into, it was actually when I started listening to music, my parents were, they were more into like country and western and Elvis Presley and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then my older cousins were into the Sweet, and they got me into the Sweet, and Montrose and Judas Priest and Black Sabbath and that kind of stuff. And then around 76, 77, I started buying my own records, and we had a, it was a record shop. I lived in the southern part of Sweden, and up in Stockholm, they had a record store called Heavy Sound, and they had this answering machine. So after when the store was closed, you could call their answering machine, and they would play snippets from new albums. And so this is the new album by Blue Oyster Cult. Here's a new album by Saint Paradise, and you would sit there and listen to it, and it would kind of call back two or three times just to listen to the song. Oh, I got to order that one. And you got the catalog, and they had these like descriptions where they put a letter in front of the band name, which described what it was. So K, it stood for Crush. That was like really, really heavy. And you had a D as in Doom, and you had AUR, and so you always went for the K, for the Crush. That was like that was like Thriller, Baltimore, a band called Diamond Rio, which was one of my favorites from the 70s. The really guitar driven heavy stuff.
That was my
favorite thing to just call their answering machine and see what new stuff they had. They changed it like once a week.
That's awesome. And it was somebody's job, and they probably loved doing it. That was probably one of the fun jobs at the record store to do. You know, hey, I'm doing the recording. That's brilliant, brilliant. I love it. It's it was definitely, it was so interesting that, and they had some music magazines that were decent. All the good ones, it took forever for us to get because they had to come out of England or someplace, and New Music Express or something. You know, we would, you know, wait patiently, not really patiently, but we would wait for them. But yeah, it was definitely a different time. Today, you just go on somebody's Facebook page, and that's cool. You know, it is definitely cool having social media and access and whatnot. But I don't know, man. It's weird. People have access today. I mean, even talking to someone like you, like this show, like we're talking here, that was almost unheard of for just a regular person, you know, back in the day. Might talk to somebody backstage if you were lucky enough. You know what I mean? But it's definitely a different world today. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, that's something I noticed with as I told you before, I've written three encyclopedias of Swedish hard rock, and the first one came out in 1996. And back in, I kept working on that one for about 2 years before it was finished, and it's contains the information about 1,000 Swedish bands from AOR to black metal, and it's only bands that have released vinyl or CD, so no like demos and stuff. And back in 1996 or 95, the internet wasn't really there. There wasn't any internet. You could send like an email or something, and if you would try to go out on internet, it took like forever just to see a like stamp size picture of something, and there was no web pages or anything. And when I wrote that book, I had to like write regular letters to bands and call them, and I actually. My phone bill for that book was about $1,200, but the publishing company paid for that money. But then when the second, this was in 96, and the second book came out in 2002, and by then there was a lot of years it had happened so much, and there was a lot of like all the bands had their own websites, and it was so much easier to find information. And then when I did the third one came out in 2013. I mean, then it's the other way. It's like an internet overload. You get so much information and contradictions, and there are different points of view, and you don't know if it's like really information from the band, or it's someone speculating. And there was actually in the last book, it was more. I had to do more research in trying to find what things were actually true and not true that was on the internet.
Mm.
So there was so much information and so much contradictions and so much weird stuff.
That was a challenge. It definitely changed things. Like in my world, I remember when I graduated college, when I got out of school, yeah, you're absolutely right. A couple of my friends that had money, that their families had, you know, they were doing okay, had computers. But yeah, there was no, like, nothing on the internet. That was like, not, you were saying, 96, 97. And then when I started painting professionally, 2001, right around there. Yeah, man, everybody. You know, what was really cool in the art world is it opened up, the artist was able to sell directly to customers. You didn't have to go to a gallery, which meant you didn't have to split the pie. You weren't giving big chunks of your money away. Well, not giving it away. They, you know, that's how that works, though, you know. And they earn their half. And, you know, it was really nice. You just sell directly. And but now it's interesting. It's hopefully finding its footing. I think it definitely has. It's very entrenched, though. I don't know anybody who doesn't use the internet at least once a day. You know, at least once, many times a day, probably.
Oh yeah.
It's amazing. And speaking of cool websites, I have to let people know GrandDesignRocks.com, www.GrandDesignRocks.com. Very cool website. We have a link up on our show page to it. And you can find out all kinds of information about Grand Design and the members and all of this and that. And you can even find out what Jan Stark's favorite quote, "If the world didn't suck, we'd all fall off." It's very true.
Wise words.
That's right. Very. Those are some cool pants you're wearing there too, Jan. I like those with the skulls on them.
Oh yeah.
Very nice. Very cool. And I also want to, before I forget, I have to mention, you guys are working, at least in the U.S., with Head First Entertainment on the publicity side of things. We have put a link to them as well. If you're in a band or, you know, doing a creative project or whatever and you need help on the PR side of things, I don't know how that business works, but, you know, get in touch with them. They're really good at what they do. So introduce me and Jan. So there you go. How about that? Last song of the show, Jan. What should we play next, do you think? What should we end it out on?
I think we should end on the Hysteria note. So maybe Rock and Roll Hysteria.
Absolutely. Here it is, everybody. We'll play it, and then we'll talk a little bit about it before we close the show out. Here we go.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about rock and roll music that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat, the beat, the beat. You want it?
fantastic, folks. Fantastic track, Rock and Roll Hysteria.
Branded by. And, Jan, I've had so much fun talking to you today. It's been so cool. You're such a good musician. Man, you know, I always tell, it's funny, I'll say the same thing, but you already know this. keep doing what you're doing, man. You're so good at it.
Thank you. Yeah, I won't stop. I'll keep on until the money runs out.
I gotcha. Fantastic. And folks, I forgot to mention, and we really should mention, all of the tracks we've been playing. These are all available wherever you get digital music, and you can go to Grand Design's Bandcamp, and you can get cool stuff like merch and stuff signed and vinyl and all kinds of stuff. They have it all.
Yeah. You can buy both the CDs, the vinyls, the downloads, T-shirts. We got lots of merchandise and stuff there as well. And yeah, you can get it signed and
get it shipped to you.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Get there.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Well, Jan, I've had so much fun, and I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and whatnot to be on the show, and it's been a real honor having you on. Just very, very cool. And, hey, mention it to your wife. You now have a friend in South Florida, just up from Miami, lives right on the beach, so we have a guest room.
Cool.
I'm building a stage in our backyard. Yeah, we'll probably put you to work, but no, I'm kidding. Very, very cool. Keep doing what you're doing. I can't wait to hear more. And I can only imagine what you guys already, you know, the gears turning for the next project.
I can actually reveal something for you today. We are currently recording 3 new tracks.
Nice.
And we will do in December. There will be Viva La Paradise special edition or special mission CD, mm-hmm. with 4 bonus tracks. So we're recording 3 new tracks, and we did a song specially for Japan, which was the cover of Kansas, Fight Fire with Fire, that we'll have on this version as well. So it'll be like a CD pack with a booklet and 4 bonus tracks.
Cool. You guys treat your fans so well. I love it. That is just, that's awesome news. Very, very cool. Well, that's
cool.
Go ahead.
No, I just said cool.
No, awesome. Very cool. Yeah, we're about out of time, so we've got to wrap it up. But thank you so much for being on the show. And man, I can't wait to hear more. It's very, very cool.
Thank you for having me. It was great talking to you.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you soon. Folks. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed on all the various social media streaming sites. And we're on, 57 streaming podcast sites as well. This will also be going out to Apple Podcast. How about that? If you are listening to the show on one of these streaming sites or Apple Podcasts in the future, hello from the past. Do me a quick favor, hit that ratings and review. That puts us up at the top of the page, and it makes my conversations with advertisers oh so much easier, so I appreciate that. We will see you tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.